Blog Talk Radio.
I just want you to think about it for a moment. It could have been me. It should have been me. It would have been me. If it wasn't for the blood, it could have been me. It should have been me. It would have been me. If it wasn't for the blood, it could have been me. It should have been me. It would have
no limit. Yeah. Come on. Yes, sir. Come on. Let's go. Yeah. It's that time. Yes, sir. Come on. That's right, y'all. It's time to get it in. It's Praise Break Friday. We're about to go all the way in Israel one time. Oh, yeah, y'all know what it is. It's the TTLO radio show. It's Praise Break Friday. It's about to go down. Come on, Israel. Let's have it. Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're taking off the limits, taking the limits off tonight, y'all. It's been a minute. It's been a week. It's been a long week. I'm glad it's over. But we still here. Israel, can we do it one more time? Come on, sir. Hey. Yes. Huh? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is one more time to take a limits off radio show. I am your boy, your host, Dr. Dana L. King, in the studio with you today. I'm excited to be here as always, man, broadcasting from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. That's right. We're broadcasting from the birthplace of gospel music, man. We got a good time today over here on the south side of Chicago. Come on, let's say it. What's the name of it, huh? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Y'all going to rock with me. Come on. Rock with your boy. Come on. Come on. Yes, sir. Come on. Rock with your boy tonight. Come on. Yes, sir. It's about to go. It's about to go. We about to blow it up tonight. Come on. One time. Huh? Hey. Yes, sir. Come on. Yes, sir. Come on, one time. Yes, sir. Look, man, I'm excited to be here today, man. Look, you could have been anywhere, but I'm just glad to be here on tonight. We got a great show for you tonight, man. Y'all ready for this? Our main point tonight is simply called, It's Time to Engage in Worship Again. It's time to engage in worship again. That's our title, our topic of conversation for tonight, man. I'm excited about it. So y'all might as well come on in and get ready and hang out with us tonight, man. Again, it's time to engage in worship again. Despite everything that's going on, I know numbers are going back up and all of that. But even in the midst of everything going on with the Delta, the Alpha, the Omega, whoever, whatever variant it is, it does not matter. It's still time to worship again. So you all come on in, man, and come with us tonight on Take This Journey with us. But look, some of you all might be your first time watching, first time listening. Let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of this journey, the Taking Limits Off radio show on tonight. First of all, if you're already listening on the line, meaning those of you on the radio side, if you're already listening on the line, all you got to do is push one. You push one, that'll get you to my producer, the best producer in the land, the one, the only, LaTanya Michelle King, taking all of your calls. You push one, that'll get you to her. She's going to check you out, and that's going to get you over to me, and then you'll be live on the air with your boy. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 323-870-4375. That is the call-in number, 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. If you are want to email the show, you can email the show. Email the show. It's the TTLO show at TTLO Media. I was going to get it out in a minute. It's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. Again, it's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. One more time for the Holy Ghost. It's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. You can tweet the show. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on the gram, that's right, follow us on Instagram. You can do that as well. Follow us on IG. Follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. Two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. If you want to follow us on Facebook, real simple, real easy to do, Facebook.com. That's right, Facebook.com. Do a simple search for the TTLO Media Group. That's right, follow us on Facebook. You can follow us there. If you haven't already done so, and I believe y'all have, go ahead and like the page as well. But you can follow us on Facebook, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then the live streams are up and running. Yeah, the live streams are up and running. We are live right now on Facebook and YouTube. That's right, live on Facebook and YouTube. You can find us now. You can find us on Facebook Live, Facebook Live. That's right, same thing, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then the YouTube page is up and running. That's right, the YouTube page is live right now, Taking Limits Off Radio. Just do a simple search for Taking Limits Off Radio. Watch this. If you find it, when you do find it, you're going to see there's an old picture of me and my brother, the original co-host of the show. I shouldn't say a co-host. He was the original host with me on the show. A picture of us, back in our slimmer days. But you can find us on there. There's a picture of us standing in the old studio, but it's Taking Limits Off Radio show, and you'll see that there. Hit that subscribe button, and then you won't have to worry about finding it anymore, because you'll get the live notifications. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, make sure you turn the live notifications on. That way you'll always get it, so you'll know when we're live on the TTLO radio show. But just in case you're watching on my page, I get it. Some of y'all watch on my page. Some of y'all watch on the TTLO show. Whatever page you follow me on, do that. Hit that live notifications link, and you'll always know what's going on with TTLO Radio. Hey, don't forget, too, we are an iHeartRadio partner. That means you can find us on your iHeartRadio app. All you have to do on the iHeartRadio app is do a simple search for the TTLO Media Group. When you do that search, you'll find the TTLO show every Monday and Friday. But not only will you find the TTLO show, that's right, not only will you find the TTLO show, you'll also find Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. That's right, Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas every Thursday at 7:30, every Thursday at 5:30. I'm going to get the time right. Thank you. Every Thursday at 5:30, you can find the Healthy Soul Talk Show with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Again, every Thursday at 5:30 with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Real talk, real issues, real solutions with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. She has started the All About Meds series, All About the Medicines. She's a therapist, so she deals with all types of issues. So she's talking about medicine, All About the Meds series. Yesterday, she talked about antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. Great show. Very informative. You got to check it out. The digital segments are off the chain. If you did not know, the digital segments are off the chain. So always check her out on Thursdays. But then watch this. On Sundays. Why don't you start your week off right? huh? Why don't you start your week off right? That's right. On Sundays, you can catch the live simulcast from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. You can catch that live simulcast right here on the DTLO Media Group Network. You can catch that right here. So that means you can tune in at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. Tune in at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning for the live radio broadcast and the video broadcast from the birthplace of gospel music with Senior Pastor Daryl in person and the Ebenezer Church family. You can always check that out at 11 o'clock right here on the TTLO Media Group station. And then my brother, good pastor from the west side of Chicago. If you want a good praise party, you can tune in to Faith Works and Vision. That's right, the Faith Works and Vision with Pastor Harold D. Washington and the Faith Works and Vision family. You can always tune in there and have a good praise party time from the west side of Chicago. And don't forget, Spotify, iTunes, all those places that you can download a podcast, you can find us there. Let me get a sip of this good water. So yes, I always enjoy their service. So look, y'all, it's Friday, man. It is the this was supposed to be our last professional development week before the students come back on Monday, but because of some issues, we don't have desks. A lot of us in middle school, especially the 516, we don't have desks in our classroom. We just have chairs. And because of the new guidelines with seating and students, the table thing no longer worked. So our chairs are somewhere on a freighter. So what I found out was that we got two sets of desks coming. They ordered two separate sets of desks, and whichever one get there first is the ones we taking, and then the other ones we won't accept the delivery. So I guess we can get the money. But we got two separate sets of desks coming, but we don't have desks. None of the two fifth grade classes, the two sixth grade classes, and then some of the other classes are missing desks because we had to get rid of the tables we were using. So what that means is there is a third week of professional development. Y'all pray for my spirit. Pray for me, y'all. It's the third week of professional development going on, and so that's what's going to be happening over at the school that I work at. I want to say this, man. We have in the time, this week has been somewhat crazy with all of the shootings and stuff that have been going on in the city. I know that there are some people who are out here just wilding out and doing the most. I was glad on the way here because I was coming from the west side. On the way here, I saw some brothers. I thought they were the brothers that I knew, but they weren't. Some brothers out on the corner. Right, they were right on the corner, LaTanya, of I want to say Jackson and Plasky. Yeah, they were on the corner of Jackson and Plasky. And they had the grill out there. They had some music out there. And I saw the brothers was like saying, they had some shirts on that said "Real Men Pray." That's what it said on the back of their shirts. And they were out there, man, just trying to pray for people in that community, over there in that guard, that was called, that would be considered, West Garfield. Yeah, it would be considered West Garfield. They're over there trying to pray, man, just to do something to break the yoke of violence that is overtaken our city. And it's not new. It's not a new thing. But I'm always appreciative, man. If I had time, I would have loved to have gotten out and found out a little bit more about who they were and threw in a prayer or two myself. It's so disheartening, man, to constantly see every day that we get up, and I know people probably say this, and I know it's probably not the best thing to do. I wake up and I turn on the news in the morning. I want to know what happened overnight. I watch the news. If I'm remembered to turn it on at 10, if I'm not watching something else, I flip over to the news at 10 o'clock and see what's going on. But then in the morning, you know, you wake up and you want to see what's going on. I want to see what the day is going to look like. I want to see the weather, the traffic and all that, because now I'm back out going, you know, I have to get up and go out now. So yes, I want to know what the traffic looks like. I want to know what the weather is. I want to kind of have an idea that, you know, what's going on. And then I want to know what happened in the world overnight. That's just the type of person I am. I guess that's what old people do. when you see the news, and this is as of today, and I'm just going to give you this. This is ABC News, and I got to make sure I credit ABC News. Most of the reports we get come from ABC News. It says Chicago shooting. This is today. Today, this is updated at 7:01 p.m. A boy, 9, shot in Roseland, is among 268 children that were wounded in Chicago gun violence this year. This year, 200, and this is ABC 7's count. 268 children. It says a young child and a man were shot Friday afternoon in Roseland on Chicago's far south side. Authorities responded to the shooting at about 12:10 p.m. on East 111th Street and South Martin Luther King Drive. According to Chicago fire officials, a child about 9 years old suffered a gunshot wound to the arm and was taken to Coleman Children's Hospital in serious condition. Officials said his condition has since stabilized. Police said 3 men pulled up to the intersection of Martin Luther King Drive and 111th Street. Police pulled up. I'm sorry. A car pulled up, a gray SUV at 111th Street. Two of them got out and just began firing shots. A 22-year-old man was also hit in the leg. No information was immediately available on his condition. Police said it appeared the 9-year-old was caught in the crossfire after leaving a store down the street. His mother was nearby when he was shot. Broad daylight. Police are looking for suspects at this point. They have not released any information about who may have been targeted or what the motives have been. Neighbors say they heard more than a dozen gunshots. Police combing the street for evidence identified a slew of shell casings and indication of a number of shots fired. So far this year, again, 268 juveniles. That's anybody under the age of 18. 268 juveniles have been shot in Chicago. That's 9% from the 246 during the same period last year, from January 1st, 2021 to today. To this year has had the most juveniles shot in 2016. And then the number of juveniles murders, children killed, 33. That's the exact same number year to date. So nothing. We have more shootings and the same amount of killings. Nothing has changed. Think about that for a moment. 1 year's time, we have more shootings, and the same amount of murders of children. Now I'm reading this statement here. It says, the alderman here said crime is up because police units have been depleted in neighborhoods, as many officers have been moved to special units downtown. That's the only way you're going to combat senseless violence. We have to have those resources back as soon as possible. I am going to agree with some of that. It says the Riverdale community has the highest rate of juvenile shot with 9.5 per 10,000 residents. North Lawndale is second with 9.2. So for every 10,000 residents, 9 people get shot. That's pretty much what that statistic is saying. Wow. What we got? Oh, he did. Oh, that's wonderful. That's beautiful. I am of the mindset. I don't even know. We've talked about this so often. God bless you. Hey, Angela from Atlanta. Manisa Knight, God bless you. Patricia Butts, hello. Felicia Brown, hello. Whoever else may be watching and has not spoke. I know that I see about 10 or 11 of y'all watching right now, and I've only seen 1, 2, 3, 4 people who've said something. So the other 6 of y'all, type something in the chat. Say something to me. Let me know who you are, where you're watching from, and what's the violence like where you are. You know what came to mind? I was outside today. We had our back to school event at the school. It was the parent meet and greet, and we met. So I met a lot of my new students, and I'm meeting them for the. Some of them What's so funny is I had them in third grade when I first got there. And so I forgot who they were, but they knew who I was. They was like, hey, Dr. King. I'm like, hey. So they knew who I was. But it was good to meet them. But what was interesting was, so you know we have the air show. I was going to say air and water show, but there's no water portion this year. So the air show is flying around. So we were caught off guard when some jets flew past. And you know, instantly I started thinking about, because all the crazy stuff that's going on or on the other side of the world in Afghanistan, and how, you know, people were saying that the Taliban now has access to the planes that the United States gave to Afghanistan. But, you know, the good thing is the Taliban don't know how to fly them, at least not yet. What was said was, if you hear the plane, it's already too late. Because if you hear it, whatever's been dropped has been dropped, and y'all might well go ahead. But I thought about those jets flying overhead and what it must feel like to the people who live in those war-torn countries where planes and bombs are constantly being dropped all day, every day. So you never get a moment to relax. Now, we don't have planes flying overhead all day, every day. But the gunshots do happen all day, every day. And we're living in a city that is at war with itself. I'm gonna try to work through this. We're living in a city that is at war with itself. There's an internal an internal battle that's going on, and you have those people who are in the midst of it, who are fighting, you know, and then you have the bystanders, and then you have the other set is the what do they call those people what's the word, help me out, my vocabulary doesn't want to work right now, people that help people do bad stuff, what's the word I'm looking for, enablers. Thank you. Help me. Thank you. You have the enablers. The enablers who enable or empower these people to do what they do. And you might say, well, who are the enablers? Who are the enablers? And here's the deal. I know this is not going to go well, and that's okay. And you ain't got to agree with me, because that's okay. At the end of the day, it's my opinion, and you can have yours, and feel free to chime in. That's why we do this, right? If somebody is sitting in front of the building that you live in, or in the backyard of the building that you live in, or in the alley of the building that you live in, or the building that you own, or the building that you have your business in, or whatever, and they are out there committing crimes, right? I was on the phone with LaTanya when I was leaving the school, and I drive through the west side, and there is an open-air curbside marijuana market between Hamlin and Madison, all the way. I was about to say it stops at Springfield, but today I saw it all the way almost to Pulaski. So between Pulaski and Madison and Hamlin and Springfield and Madison. Is that Springfield right where the mall is, where the White Castle is or was? Or Aldi's? That's Springfield, right? Yeah. There is an open air curbside pull up and get your weed and keep going market in the midst of all of this right here. Now, school is still out. There is no public school in that area. So it's not a safe street. It's not one of those safe streets. It's not a path for safe streets or any of that. But literally, there were at least, I counted, and I've been doing it for a while now, 10 to 15 guys standing on either side, on either the north or south sides of Madison Street. Now, I don't know if this is happening on the south side. Is it? I'm going to assume it might be. What does Inglewood look? Well, yeah, it does, because Mr. Bingham lives in Inglewood. And Felicia said, I'm confused about this weed recreation. I hate weed and the smell of it. Can anyone smoke it in anywhere? They are out here, and as you're driving, they're giving you the signal, you know, the smoke signal, and you pull over. Because you, I know what you said about pulling over, they pull over the parking lot. They're not pulling over the parking lot. They give you the same guy, the guy is holding the bags in his hand, literally. And they're shaking them. Doesn't you know, hey, I got your bud right here. And you pull up with your whatever the amount is and whatever. I know what I was tempted to do, and y'all pray for me. What I was tempted to do, because y'all know I do stuff, and sometimes I'm a little extra. I was tempted to just pull over and pull up, and when dude asked me that I want something to buy it, and then pull over to the next, and then drive up to the police station, to the police police officer, and say, hey, I just bought this down the street from over here. What you say?
I said, you're going to get arrested.
What am I going to get arrested for?
Hey, I just bought this.
Mm-hmm.
Come here, sir. Let us weigh it. Oh, no, sir. You didn't even get to finish your last sentence.
What I want to do is buy it and walk up to a police car and drop it in there and say, hey, if y'all want to find out where I bought this from, it's up the street, and then just walk off. Like, dude up the street just gave me this. Maybe I'll say that. Dude up the street just gave me this. Then I'm going to say I bought it.
Okay.
Right. That way I won't incriminate myself.
Right, because, you know, they're going to be like,
right,
sir, come here.
Right, right, come here,
now,
sir.
Now put your hands on your head.
No, you know that ain't even happening. You know I ain't going out like that.
I'm going to need you to follow their orders.
I ain't going out like that. That ain't ever been happening.
Because guess where you was at? Madison, Pulaski.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Everybody don't know Daniel King. I'm just saying.
What you trying to say?
I'm just saying.
What you saying? It's gonna be
a prevention.
A whole incident.
Yes.
On Madison and Pulaski.
Yes.
It's very possible. But I am now, and the reason I brought that up is because they are out there. That what they do breeds violence. Because if you're going to the weed store, you ain't finna have no violence, right? So now maybe I don't know help me out with people going to buy weed in the store or whatever. Do you still need a card now, or what's the deal?
You need a card.
To buy weed?
Yes.
A medical card?
Yes, you need a medical card.
They don't have just recreational? You can't go and buy recreational weed?
My understanding is you still need a card.
Okay.
By a doctor.
Really? I thought because it was now legal to smoke. I thought you didn't have to buy. I know that the medical people can get theirs first.
How much you can buy per month.
The medical people do.
Yes.
But then what about the non-medical people?
They still have a card too, and they have a limit on what they can buy per month.
Okay, no medical card is needed.
Who said that?
My niece Anite. I don't know. I don't want to ask. I won't know if it's because she know from experience.
Right. I don't know about that one.
Now, I thought there was two
now we got
categories.
We got. Now, see, I don't want to talk about this because we had an issue last time.
No. I'm just saying. The reason I'm saying this is because the way that they're doing this, they're openly selling weed, which means there's other people who are openly selling drugs. And when you openly commit a criminal act, it's going to breed other criminals who too want to come on the same territory and say, why can't we sell here? Which then says, get off my spot. I was here first. And now then the guns come out, and then innocent people who are trying to go to the wick store or whatever end up getting shot. That's why I brought it up. So right, we're not glorifying selling drugs, so let's keep it, let's be real over here, you know. We weren't doing it then either. So anyway, what I'm saying is that this is going on outside of businesses on Madison Street. Like right outside of businesses that are looking for you to come in and spend your money, but I got to walk past the weed dude to get into your store. How the sales taxes are high on the weed. Absolutely. That's where the money comes from. Absolutely the taxes are high. That's why people are buying it on the street, because again, ain't no taxes. But again, that's why the crime is you're committing these open air crimes. And my question that I asked LaTanya was, I said, I just find it interesting that at this time every day, conveniently, maybe it's a shift change, I don't know.
Air shifts.
Right. But conveniently at this time, there is not one. How hard is it? And I know the resources are limited. I know we had a bunch of police officers walk off the job the other day. It was not public knowledge, but a bunch of police officers turned in their retirement papers the other day. But how hard is it in that area to get two patrol cars?
You want to fight weed or you want to fight crack and heroin?
All of it. I want to fight the illegal drugs being sold.
Okay.
Buy your weed now from the go to the. Now you ain't got no excuse. You can't say I was buying. I'm not, because when I was buying it, if I'm buying it from the weed man, I know I'm committing a crime. Now I got to go and buy it at the store like I buy my cigarettes.
I ain't never heard of no drive by for no weed.
Until now.
I still ain't heard of no drive by.
Oh, you mean
for,
shoot it?
Yes, for some weed. I would say this.
What I'm saying is,
remember when the police station was on Chicago Avenue?
Yes.
And all the drugs were being sold
right across
in
the street.
Front
right
of
across the street.
Chicago Avenue.
Right across the street. Yeah.
They did nothing.
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 They had no incentive to, even though that's their job. They had no incentive to.
I mean, real open air.
Yes.
Whole
drugs,
the good stuff.
Drugs. Yes. What I'm saying is, you want to change the culture. It starts with the small stuff. It starts with the small stuff because Oak Park is like Oak Park because the residents and the business owners of Oak Park say, we pay our taxes, we do what we do here so that we don't have this here. So in the same instance, I know it might sound like a pipe dream, but it's really not difficult. At the same instance, just like the Oak Park police, their biggest crimes are writing tickets and an occasional, you know, whatever. But you can't tell me you put a patrol car on Springfield and Madison, Hamlin and Madison, rather. And you put another patrol car at Plasky in Madison, and they walk the beat during the height of the afternoon. You telling me that doesn't stop that? Now, yes, they're going to move somewhere else. Yes, they will. But guess what? They ain't comfortable no more. Because the problem is we've allowed these people who don't care about our lives, your kids' lives, or anybody else, we've allowed them to get comfortable in our communities. They pop up, they set up shop. They set up shop and say, you know what? Oh, man, you know what? They ain't going to stop us. Because that's what they do. They drop off a couple of guys and say, let me see what you do over here. We're going to give you this new territory. Let me see what you do. And then all of a sudden, oh, man, you did that over there? I'm going to send four more guys over there. Put some more people over there. Y'all ever watched The Wire? Amsterdam. Man, I need you to get some more people to go over there because they're allowing this to happen. The police are allowing it because they're saying, oh, we got bigger fish to fry. Because constantly my shot spot scanner, because I'm with the police thing, goes off all day, every day, because there's a shooting. If I turn it on right now in here and let it sit, y'all going to hear shots fired somewhere, and people going all over the city. We have to decide that we don't want to do this anymore. We have to make that decision. That decision has to come from us, that we're no longer going to play a role and omission or denial is just like, you know, what they say, by not voting you are voting for the bad thing. So by not making an attempt to shut it down. And I don't know that they have or they haven't. it just, you know, and again, I don't know when, I guess I should probably find out when does the 11th district have the same type of meeting that the 15th district has on the first Tuesdays of the month? Because I'm sure I can't be the only person who has driven over, because the people that live over there, they have to have some type of feeling about what they see. The CTA bus drivers, that's a high traffic area for, and then maybe I'm wrong, and Tanya, I know you don't travel that direction because you intentionally avoid that street. Do kids have to walk up and down that area once school starts? They avoid it?
No, you don't have to.
Because there is no schools down that area, so they don't have to come that way. They can stay on Washington, or they can stay on Jackson.
From your people's block and everything,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On Jackson, that mm-hmm. school is closed.
Yes.
And then
the school further up the street is closed, too.
It's closed and everything else.
So there's
like
no
that.
Need for them to walk down Madison Street.
There is nothing in the adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, when it's even if you have this gram and you're selling this
mm-hmm.
by a school, they're far and few in between. There is one, maybe about 3 or 4 blocks right off of Pulaski behind the library. I don't even know if it's open.
Oh, that's probably outside of the 500-yard radius, though.
Right.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
So there is, like, nothing else. It is closed. Like, you know.
So
daycare, it was a daycare center around there.
That's gone.
Like, under Bethel, Washington, that's closed and everything else.
So there's
like
no need for a child, technically.
Technically,
that's not
no.
a path that a kid would take to school back and forth every day.
There are no, what's that called?
Safe streets.
It's not under just safe. Yeah.
Maybe that's why there's nobody pushing to remove it.
You know, the only thing you get and is way far away, it's probably the same here. And everybody know you ain't finna do that in front of Paul J. Adams.
Exactly.
School.
Exactly. But the same way that you ain't finna do it over there, that's still Chicago. And that's still the west side of Chicago.
Right.
The same energy that stops it from happening there can be moved anywhere. That's what I'm saying. Thank you for bringing that up, because I didn't even think about that. The same energy that's used, that stopped, because here's the deal. Let them guys go set up by St. Mel.
They won't be there for long.
Exactly. And why not? Why not? Because it's a school.
It's a school, and I'm pretty sure about...
Right.
A good, maybe we give half.
And when they call if they call the police, it's a different reaction. Mm-hmm. It's a different response. That's all I'm saying. You want your area to be better, then it's how you respond to what's out there. We can blame the police all day long, but their job is to serve and protect. If you are not saying you need service, business owner, homeowner, renter, because you got to live there, even if you don't own it. You paying. You, that's what you lay your head at night. Now maybe it's a business area. There's no homes there. There's no apartments on Madison Street, right? I guess if it was some apartments, like if you had the commercial bottoms and the apartments up top, it might be a different situation. But it's not.
I mean, even with the restoration of that one. Of the building on the corner that has the Walgreens and everything, those are apartments now. They did restore those, that white building.
On Madison?
Mm-hmm.
They put a Walgreens in there?
It's like pharmacy.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty
wow.
much.
Wow.
Just pharmacy.
So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you all. I think it's a it's hard to there's no easy solutions, and again, you can help me if you had an idea or thought. Again, I want you guys know that you can always share those. You can always share those here with us. I am just of the mind that doing nothing is definitely not a good option. Doing nothing, literally doing nothing, is never going to be a good option. Real quick, I posted something earlier today because it was part of the conversation that I had with Dr. Thomas's show last night. And we were talking about, she said she was about praying for clarity, praying for clarity. And I, for lack of better words, corrected her or gave her or redirected her. How about that? I won't say corrected because corrected just thought, you know, like she was wrong. Not that she was wrong. I asked her to redirect her efforts. And I said this, I would have posted it last night, but I didn't think about it until this afternoon, while I was at school. And so I posted this morning, and you guys have, some people, like it a little bit, and that's fine. But I posted this morning, and I simply said, instead of praying to God for clarity, let's pray to God to increase our trust and faith. So instead of praying to God for clarity, instead of saying, God, help me to see what you want me to do, whatever, how about we pray for trust, that he would increase our faith and our trust in him. And there has to be, we want, like even now, trust God. We have to learn how to trust God in situations and trust him enough to not, for lack of better words, to not go off half-cocked and do our own thing. Because that's when we get ourselves in trouble. And trust him enough not to sit back and just do nothing either. Right? Let me say this. I feel like I need to put this in somebody's spirit. God has given us everything that we need. But do you trust him enough to step out on faith and use it? Right? Do you trust him enough to step out on faith and use it? And you know what comes to mind? And I remember this. I was real late learning how to ride a bike. I remember as a kid, as a little bitty kid, having the bike with the training wheels. So you have the bike and you got the training wheels and you're doing that and all that. Okay. But then at some point, the training wheels have to come off. And now somebody has to hold the back of the bike to help you train your body to balance. But it has to be somebody that you trust. It can't just be the neighbor next door that you don't know. It just can't be some random stranger because you don't know him or her. Follow me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It has to be somebody that you trust that has been there before, that has not let you fall before, or that has caught you before you fail and did damage, right? That holds the back of the bike. And then the goal is, that person that's holding the back of the bike is, you're saying, you know what's the famous line? Don't let go. Like, don't let go yet. I'm going to tell you when to let go. That's what the smart kids say, because that's me. I'm going to tell you when to let go. I'm going to tell you when I think I got it. But what always ends up happening is that adult that trust, that adult that you trust, that friend that you trust, even though you're saying, I might not be ready, you're trusting them anyway to hold you up. And then they let you go. And you realize part of the way, like, wait a minute, like, you got me? And then you like, wait a minute. And then you normally hear in the background them clapping like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you got it. Here is what I'm saying to you. Just like when we rode those bikes and we trusted that person to hold us up so that we could accomplish a new thing because the talent was in us. We just had to trust somebody to pull it out of us. We had to take the step. We had to take the necessary step of removing the training wheels, and then you had to trust them to push you out. And I believe so many people, and I don't know why I went this route tonight. I believe so many people are sitting on gifts and talents and major moves and major expansions. But because you won't trust God, you're waiting on everything to be perfect. Oh, we can't do that because we don't have that. but we can't do this because we don't have that. I'm not saying step out raggedy. Come on now. That's not what I'm saying. Please, 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 please. I know folk will step out raggedy in a minute. So let me correct. Let me be real clear because some of y'all like to step out raggedy. Let me say it the right way. Raggedy. Some of y'all like to step out real raggedy. What I'm saying is you have to trust God that when you step out, he's with you. Come on now, shout out to Clifford Turner that produced the Awakening at the beginning of the show. He would say, take, yeah, that, and that's what they would say, take the city. But you got to trust him. Some of you all have a natural entrepreneurial spirit down on the inside of you. I might go a different route tonight. I know we normally do. And because I started talking about something on Monday and it was, wasn't what. If you trust God, if you trust God, why won't you trust him enough? See, you can trust you, but trust, you know, trust is, you know, conditional. I trust you enough. But if you really believe he's the God that wakes you up every morning, then why can't you trust him all the way? Why can't you trust him that if you've included him in your thoughts and in what you've been writing in your journals and the plans you've been making and all the stuff and the you've because you know some of y'all are, some of y'all write, some of you guys journal, some of you guys write out very distinctive plans for businesses or drawings. If you are a designer, or if you're an architect, whatever you draw, you guys are your brains won't allow you to not write it down. So you put this stuff on paper. My question is, do you trust God to push you from paper to power? Do you trust him to push you from idea to fruition? Can you trust him for that? And some of us think that it has to be, thank you, Felicia said, don't wait for, yeah, you don't have to wait for perfect conditions. Now, here is the difference. If it's a windstorm out, if I have tilled the ground, and the wind is blowing, that would not be the ample time for me to be out trying to throw seeds. Right? No, because the wind is blowing, which means most of my seeds are going to get blown somewhere else, and whatever I'm trying to plant will never take root. Won't even get a chance to grow, actually, let alone take root. But I got this little patch. And I've been holding on to this little patch, and I want this other patch, but I've been waiting because, you know, I want to wait till I get this, and I don't want to plant it because I don't have the tools yet to reap the harvest when it's ready. Maybe you just need to plant it anyway. Come on, Felicia, know the difference between your move and the God move. Yes, that's it. Know the difference between your move and a God move. When do we get to when we're going to trust God? Because I'm on this thing now, and I thought about this again. You know what I'm going to do? Remember the count that I took some years ago? I told y'all about how many churches were on the street and all that kind of stuff on the west side. I'm going to do that count again. We'll do that count again. Maybe I'll do it Sunday when I leave here. Just get off the expressway a couple of a step earlier, like back that way, actually. Back from the open air drug market, because that's where I started counting from before, all the way back to, you know, the other way, just to see. I have this thing, and maybe I'm out of place, and I'm going to talk, and we got some guests coming. We've been working trying to get some people in, and one in particular, because he's been vocal about this, about consolidating churches. consolidating your power base, consolidating your overhead, consolidating your other parts of your ministries that are not conducive to success. I know, as a person who believes he has been called to pastor, that it is a major undertaking when you do get it. Anytime you're thrust into a leadership position, it is a major undertaking. A lot of times, sometimes those things are temporary. Sometimes they're for a longer season. Sometimes they're for a shorter season. Sometimes they were for no season at all because we went and did it. I think Reggie Royal called them rogue churches. I believe that was a term that Reggie Royal used. He called them rogue churches. And what I mean rogue churches was you couldn't get along with anybody where you were. You thought you were more than whatever. You say God called you, but he didn't. And you went forward, and you had a couple of people in your ear, and you had the resources to do it. And so you went and started a church with no anointing behind it. And now you got a church, and now you got some folk who followed you blindly. So you're responding. This is the thing, too, about this is why I'm saying this for my people who have the title of pastor, and you're pastoring this small group of people. This, and when I say small group, because I know some people only got 50 or 60 or 70, that's a small group. But when I'm talking about small, you're pastoring this handful of folk, 10 or 11 folk, because they're gonna follow you, right? They'll follow you. And they'll follow you to a place if you lead them to a place that might not be under your pastorate any longer. I want to talk to some pastors who have some churches. And I know somebody's saying, well, who are you to tell them they should close their church? I'm not telling them to close their church. What I'm telling them is reevaluate your ministry. The amount of monies you're putting in to a ministry for year 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, and you still are pastoring physically the same 12 to 13 people. You guys have not grown. Yeah, you're because of social media, you still have some semblance of a presence. But your social media following isn't really doing much. But these people, these 9, 10, 13, 14 people still follow you. But yet you won't have a conversation with God and say, God, is there someplace else I could lead your people? Because if you've been called to preach first, you can preach anywhere. If you've been called to preach, you can preach anywhere. Why not go to another ministry? Do some evaluating. Do some research. Go to some churches and have your members, let your members know what you're thinking. I know it's a risk, because if you tell people, well, I'm thinking about possibly, make it a field trip. Say, hey, y'all, we all going to XY church this Sunday. And because you want to go and experience a different worship as a pastor, you want to go and be taught. You want to be preached to. You want to be able to sit and enjoy the worship and have them come and start looking for a place where you can plant that seed, those seeds that you've been, that you can replant what you've done. You can replant in a place. And the only thing you're doing is giving up your title. I know that's crazy. I know that's crazy. But the only thing you're doing is giving up your title, but you're leading your people to a better place and a better situation. And now those talents that you've been holding on to, because some of those seven or eight people that you got, some of them are very talented, and those talents and gifts could be used at another ministry. And a good leader or a good leadership team at another ministry can then harness those same gifts that you've been trying to make work where you are, that they're not working, they're frustrated, and move them to a place where now your 8 or 9 or 12 have joined with their 50 or 60. And now 50 or 60 is now 80 or 100. Now you came and brought some life to their ministry. And the only thing that you actually gave up was that you no longer get to be called senior whatever. You're still a minister. You're still a preacher. And that pastor, if he's an anointed man or woman of God, will see your spirit and welcome you to his or her staff. No, you don't get to preach every Sunday anymore. But there is a space for you to teach. There's a space for you to evangelize. There's a space for you to work and to bring your talents. I remember, can I share something? I'll share a secular story for you. I remember working, I worked at Comcast from 1989 up until 2003, maybe four. No, 2003, two. 2002, from 1989 to 2002. And I started off as a part-time telemarketer at Comcast. What you guys know is Comcast then, that wasn't the name of the company, it was a cable company. But a part-time telemarketer. And I worked my way up through that, did very well in sales, because that's what I do, did very well in sales, finally got a manager, a supervisor position. First they called them account executives, and then they made you assistant supervisor, then they made you supervisor, then you go from supervisor to manager, you go from manager to call center manager, then you go from call center manager to sales director, you go from sales director to VP of sales and all that. So I made that journey all the way up to Comcast showing up and buying out everything and merging everything, and then, you know, went through the whole, let's start, you know, downsizing and doing all that, because we have multiple people doing the same job. All right. So now I've been at this level. I was the director of sales, right? Director of sales, actually regional. My official title, because let me give you all the, was regional director of sales for Comcast, right? So that means I was responsible for all of the sales departments in a particular region, right? Got it. So that's, you know, nice little title, nice little money, but it's a nice title. So I leave there, don't work a year and a half because I had very good severance from them, very good at, because think about it, I was there for quite a while. Very good severance from them, nice little package, nice little pack umbrella they gave me to leave, parachutes they call it rather, nice little package. I leave there. But now it's time to go looking for a new job. And Bank One is hiring. But the only way I could get into Bank One was to take a lesser position. Even though I was qualified for a managerial position, I wanted to get in, so I had to take steps backward. I wish I had some help. I had to take some steps backward in order to be advanced. So I came in. Here's the deal. I was only there for 6 months. 6 months. And they say, hey, come on, you got some, because, you know, good companies promote from within. Before they start looking outside, they look at what they have inside. That's going to help somebody in a minute. Before you start bringing the folks in from the outside, They make sure they exhaust the talent stream inside first. So I was promoted then to a little call center supervisor. Like I said, little call center supervisor with a handful of people. I got a little team managers, what they were called. I was promoted to a little team manager. I had my little 15 employees and, you know, whatever. And then about 6 months later, it was like, oh, hey, here is this. We're going to move you up to this. So now you're going to have several teams, and then these supervisors now report to you and blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. And then about a year after that, it was like, oh, hey, you're doing this, and because you're mad, because your call stats have reached this number, we want you to go and train another group of people and do some stuff. So I was like, okay, fine. What would y'all want me to do? And so then as I kept expanding, but all of that happened because I was willing to take a step back. What I'm saying to some of my leaders, those of you who are listening and watching me right now, that title might be holding you and some people back. I'm not telling you to go take your people over to John Hanna's church. John Hanna don't need your people. Bless you, Pastor Hanna. I'm not saying pack up and go to a mega church. I'm saying find you a good Bible teaching, Bible preaching, praise and worshiping church that you can say, you know what, I'm Pastor so-and-so, and I got these members. Now, some of them may come with me, and some of them may not. Some of your members may get mad because you decided you don't want to be their pastor because you're not going. Watch this. That doesn't mean you still won't be their pastor. I wish I had some help. That doesn't mean that they still won't look to you as their spiritual lead, and that because that title never goes away. It doesn't matter what the church calls you, where you are. She got a whole eye cup of ice over there. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter what the church. Those people will always look to you because you've been the one praying for them. You've been the one showing up at the hospital for them. You've been the one marrying their and blessing them, christening them, blessing their babies and counseling and doing. So they're always going to look to you for that. But I believe that we could do something major in this city if we had less buildings being used and housed for worship, for a handful of folk. But if we could consolidate three or four of those places into one, consolidate three or four into one in this area, that area, then take three or four more and say, and who do you want to be? And this is why, in the other churches, in some of our European churches, you have senior pastors, then you have executive pastors, then you have preaching pastors, worship pastors, teaching pastors. Notice the titles. Senior pastor is still the senior pastor, but all of these other people, you could easily fit into one of those spots. Maybe you are an amazing executive. And maybe the church you go to has an administrative problem. Maybe you are great at teaching. Maybe the church that you decide to go to needs great teachers. You would help those ministries, and God would still be glorified. And the amount and watch this. It takes. I know it's getting quiet, and I know I probably got up some folk. Probably don't, you know, think I'm crazy, but God pays attention to those types of acts of humility, and it takes a powerful person. It takes a lot of power to show that kind of humility, to say I'm willing to take my crown off in order to move, in order to advance in God's kingdom and advance his kingdom I'm willing to take a step back because I trust God enough. Oh, God. Because I trust God enough that he didn't bring me this far to leave me. I wish I had some help. That he didn't bring me this far to leave me. Can I trust God enough? Because I've taken these handfuls of people that have been following me for the last 8, 9, 12 years. And we done moved from one church to the next building to the next. We're not quite stable. We're barely staying alive and all of this. We've done this and that. And our fruit looks troubled. So I've taken these people as far as I can take them. But if I leave them here, because I've done my homework on this preacher and that church, and I believe I can bring something to the table at that place, just like I can show up at a job interview and I can tell somebody on the other side of the table, this is what I'm bringing to your company. These are the years of experience that I'm bringing. This is what I'm capable of doing. This is what God has blessed me with. Watch this. Musicians do it all the time. I ain't talking about the ones that's jumping from church to church for a check. I'm talking about an anointed musician, an anointed worshiper, an anointed praiser will show up and say, God has blessed me with this gift and I want to bring it to your church. I wonder what the atmosphere would look like. Because now, oh God, help me, here we go. Now we're seeding the clouds differently. Now we're no longer seeding the way we used to. Now we've shifted the whole thing. Now we've taken these already grown plants out of the small little pots that they've been suffocating in. If you know anything about plants, God help me. Now y'all know horticulture was one of my favorite classes in high school. Really, I know, right? But you take these plants and once they've grown to a certain spot and place in that little pot, if it comes a point in time where they have to replant. A good gardener knows. Someone who's good with plants knows when it's time to unplant or replant, to take that thing out carefully now. You take that thing out, and when you pull it out, you see the roots all tangled up at the bottom because there's no place else for them to go. And then you find some fresh soil that, you know, you go buy that bag of soil, and now you got that larger pot, and you put some dirt down in the bottom. And then you take that plant and that soil, which now is shaped just like the plant, it's shaped like the planter that it was in. And now you take it and you put it in a larger pot, but it's still shaped. Watch this now. It's still shaped. Come on now. Like the small plant that it was in. And that's okay, because now you're going to take it and put it in a larger plant. Now, here is the good thing. Because it was rooted, oh, glory, I feel all right now. Because it was rooted in something, it's not going to take long for it to root in this new situation. Now you take it and you put some fresh dirt around it, and you plant it, and now you water it. You cultivate it. You get it to a place where now that shape that it had starts to break, because now it's being reshaped. It's growing. That's all I'm asking some of y'all to consider. I don't know who's listening, who might watch later, who might listen later. Consider replanting into some already established good ground. Investigate what I'm talking about now. Investigate the place. Look at the place. Talk to the people. Ask about the people. Don't do it blindly, because it's the historical this, or it's the mighty this, or the all great and powerful Oz. Because don't do that now. That's one of the old deacons at my old church used to say, be a fruit inspector. Inspect the fruit now. Make sure you're going to, when you replant, that you're going to do it in good ground. Not perfect ground, but good ground. Because there ain't no perfect ground. Good ground. Look, y'all, we're going to take a quick break. A quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into our conversation. Now, I'm wondering. Let me see. Yes, I'm going to do. We're going to take a quick break. I was wondering what music to play, because you said, dude, release some stuff. But in the meantime, we're going to take a real quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to jump into our conversation for tonight. It's time to engage in worship again. It's time to engage in worship again. That's going to be our topic of conversation. Let me give y'all a little bit of this one right here. We haven't played in a while. Lessons to learn. Come on, Asia. Sing one thing. We have Mike Dow, PP's 1L10, Solo Radio.
And I know the long way can feel unreal, wondering when you're gonna get what you think you deserve. If you think that's how it works, my friend, it don't. There are many things you have to learn to do before God can release what he has for you. While you're waiting on your blessings, work on yourself. Here are some things that you gotta learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your phone. You need to learn to watch your mouth. You gotta change what's in your heart. So you can handle it. Please understand, God knows what you want, and he also knows what's in your heart. If he give it to you now, you may crash and burn. You gotta learn how to wait till it's your turn. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other stuff will be added in time. I'm only sharing with you what I know, because these are some lessons I have to learn. You gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your phone. You need to learn to watch your mouth. You gotta change what's in your heart. You can handle it. While you're waiting, doubt will come. Just remember where your help comes from, 'cause faith without words is dead. You need to go to church so you can be saved. See, trials come to make you strong, but these are the lessons that will help you grow. I'm trying to share with you what I know.
Hang on,
you gotta learn how to kneel and pray. You gotta learn to not complain. You gotta learn to ignore the mess. You gotta learn how not to stress. You gotta learn to watch your tone. You gotta learn to watch your mouth.
Asia Tyson on her debut, not her debut release, but her most recent release from 2 years ago now, Lessons to Learn. The name of the CD that is on is Dare to Praise Different. If you have not downloaded it, check it out on either Spotify or iTunes or whatever, but get you a copy. It is good listening. Apple Music. You can have you listen to music. It is good, good listening. Hey, look. Oh, that's what I did. The little iPad. I forgot to grab it. It's in front of you. One of the things that I saw this article and I was like, man, at the time that we're in right now, it's perfect. People are going back to church. Excuse me. People are going back to church. We are at a time where churches have started to reopen. Some have reopened slightly. Some have done complete reopenings. Some are still trying to figure it out. But we're at a time where churches are reopening, and that it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing, actually. I like the fact that churches are coming back. I think it's you can do it safely. You know, if you have a mask, or if you're saying that, you know, I know right now in the city that's vaccinated or not, they don't care anymore. Cook County now has the same mask mandate, vaccinated or not, in Cook County. So now it has spread. So that means there's going to be some, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some people who have some issues. Trust me, I don't want to put a mask back on either in certain places. I like being able to go in the grocery store without a mask. It felt good, to be able to go in the grocery store and not rush. Because you put that mask on, you're trying to get the hell out of there. I mean, real talk. You put that mask on in the grocery store, you are trying to get, look, hurry up. I used to enjoy going to the grocery store you know, making sure I have everything and taking and looking at my different options and stuff like that, you know. But when you put that mask on, it's like, okay, let me get this chicken and get up out of here. Let me make sure I get the comments. Thank you. No, I did not. I missed those. Audrey Bourne says, I have stepped back to be elevated forward more than once in my career, and it benefited me, my family, and my spiritual walk. Yes. Yes. Audrey also says through consolidation, we can be more effective in our communities. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sister Knight said, keep talking. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You all. I don't know why that's where I am right now. And, you know, I don't know. Again, I am no expert. I play one on TV. I'm no expert in things of telling people how to or what they should do with their churches. And it's a major conversation with God. You ain't moving because Dana said move. You're moving because you had a conversation with God, and God ordained your move. Huh? God ordained your move. When that happens, then you can start to see some stuff. You can start to see some major changes take place. But I'm appreciative of that. But I brought that up to say this is it is it's great that we are at a place where we can go back to church and worship, because there's nothing like being in the room with worshipers. I believe Sister Audrey was on our Bible study when we were talking about worship. We're talking about worship and Bible study here at the church. That's the theme for the month. And Sister Audrey made some powerful comments about some of the other churches that she had visited, and I appreciate it. I believe that was her. I believe that was her. I might be wrong. Sister Audrey, correct me with a thumbs up or something in the chat. But I believe she made some powerful comments. A lot of times it takes us to recognize that we have got to make some changes. And our worship, our levels of worship, It's time to not just to get back to worship, but get back to worship and then elevate our levels of worship. So why is this page not why is this not opening the way it should? But it's time to elevate our levels of worship and reengage in worship. So I saw this article and I thought it would be a great conversation to have. I'm really trying to figure out why it's not opening like the other one normally does. But I thought it would be a great conversation to have because we are at a place where we've been out of worship for so long, and that connection to God is not the same. It's not the same. Yeah, God doesn't change. But when our circumstances and our atmosphere changes, sometimes it does affect us. And we need to be able to recognize when it does. We need to be able to recognize when it does. So let me, is there a way to blow this up? Because now this iPad does not want to cooperate with me. And that's okay, though, because we're going to make it work. Because I can't even increase the size of the font. But that's all right. Where's the other old iPad at? Yeah, let me see that one. The old joint. But yeah, so anyway, that's okay. It's still that time of it's that time where engaging worship. I just want to jump into it though. The article was just written on the 17th of this month. It was just written on the 17th of this month. Or it was Audrey, thank you. Okay. It was written on the 17th this month. And it simply says this. Let me tell you who the writer is, first of all. The writer is Dan Wilt. Dan Wilt, come on, computer, thank you very much. Dan Wilt is a blogger and writer for churchleaders.com. He's an artist and author, musician, educator, songwriter, communicator, and spiritual life writer. With 20 years in the Vineyard family of churches, he served in various ways to further new creation-centered vision of the Christian life through media. So he's been writing for quite some time. So he's just, this is, again, I give you articles and information from not fly by night people, from people who have a track record. Let me say that again. I said that funny when I said it. Who have a track record in ministry, and you want to be around people who have track records, who have a proven track record. You want to take advice from. That's it. You want to take advice from people who have a track record in a chosen field. You want to take advice from people who've got a history, who've got some evidence, right? Who've got some evidence of showing what their gifting is and what their abilities are. And you want to take that as long as you can and as soon as you can. Angela says you have phenomenal articles. I love everything. They, you know what, Angela? I like them too, and I'll share something with you all. I think I've shared this with you all before. Traditionally, in shows like this, the articles have been thoroughly flushed and read through, and you've had several people. Normally, you would get yourself and your producer to go over the materials with you, and so you know the ins and outs of everything. I don't work that way. And I never have. One of the things that I decided to do with this show, when it ended up just being me, and I think me, Devon and I decided on this early on. One of the things that we decided on was that we wanted to have the same reactions that you all did when we read the articles. We wanted to have the same reactions, right? That's why you see what you see or you hear what you hear, depending on how you're listening or watching right now, because our reactions are just as authentic as yours are. If we read something and it sounds a little off and we go, huh? Like, you know, it's real time for us too. So I wanted to share that with you all. So what we normally do is when we grab articles, we look at the title and then we look at if it's an article that has points, we will read maybe a point, a title of the point, not the point itself, but the title of the said point, like point two, point three, and we'll go, okay. And if we get and if two or three of them hit, we'll go with the entire article. And most of the time, we've been blessed that it's always been more positive than negative. But sometimes it does not work out that way, and we deal with it. But look, I'm going to jump into this thing this way. So the writer says this. He says, again, the article is entitled, "It's Time to Engage in Worship Again." The writer says this. He says, "With you, I'm watching the fallout of a wild pandemic year plus, where many of us have previously experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit as we've offered abandoned worship in a personal or corporate setting, have, let's say, falling out of practice. We've forgotten how to worship. It's time to engage in worship again, the writer says. He says, I'm talking about worship, the kind of worship moments where the music is powerful and beautiful. Yes, but also where the worship leader and those creating the space for worship know how to let it open up, how to let it linger, how to let it ebb and flow, so that the Spirit can work in the hearts of us all as we enter in and offer ourselves to Jesus in an intimate communion. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. I love that. Think about it. So again, think about it. You've been worshiping at home. I think it's the way the article is set up because it won't do it on this one either. So it's the article. It's not the computer. But you've been worshiping at home. And so it's you in front of an iPad. It's you in front of your computer. Or if you're, you know, tech savvy enough to cast it to your TV, you've been watching it on your television. As great as the production value may be at home. I'm bragging on the lady over there and myself. As great as the production value. Take your bow. Right. As great as the production value may be at home, it's not the same as being in the room. It's not the same. So when the writer says, he says, you want to be in the place. He says, I'm talking about worship. I just want to read it again. I just want to read it again. He's talking about where it says, I'm talking about worship, where he says the kind of worship moments where the music is powerful and beautiful. Yes. He says, but where the worship leader and those creating the space for worship know how to let it open up, how to let it linger, how to let it ebb and flow, so that the Spirit can work in the hearts of all as we enter in and offer ourselves to Jesus in an intimate communion. So he goes to this thing. He says, it's time to engage in worship again. I just laughed at the chat box. The writer says this. It's time to engage in worship again. It's time to engage in worship again. The writer says this. He says, yes, our local church can be one of those places. He says, I've also found joy in being with worshipers in our town for a worship night with many joining in, led by experienced worship leaders. Mm-hmm. He says, there might be another gathering or space that we draw on, but it's vital that we find places at this time. Vital. He says, fill your home, your car with music of worship. Let yourself go. I'm going to share something that happened with y'all, that happened to me this morning. Sing loud on a drive in the country. Sing all over the house all day with music up a little louder than usual. Find your way back to that place of responding to Jesus with love and blessing and acclaim and adoring worship with favorite songs that move you. So y'all know I posted a video a while back. We were taking Jalen back to school. And we were in separate cars. Jalen was in his car and we were in the truck because we had all the stuff. So we were in the truck and y'all know I wasn't driving. I was riding for a change. It's a blessing to ride. It's a blessing to ride. So I got to ride. I wasn't driving. So I rode. I rode in the passenger seat. But you know, when you ride in the passenger seat, you get to play DJ. So we were jamming. Y'all know I was supposed to. It wasn't gospel. We was having a good time. I was taking y'all through the 70s, 80s, and 90s of all this good music and all that kind of stuff, right? So the reason I brought that up, but we were doing the most. I mean, the music was extra loud. And we was doing some extra singing and some extra extra dancing and all that kind of stuff, you know, minus the body rolls. But, we know, all that stuff was in there. I brought that up to say this. So today I was on my way to school. I love worship music. There is nothing as much as so take it from me. I was a househead. From back in the day, meaning I was in the middle of the dance floor when the music hit. I was that dude who was in the middle of the floor. I don't care where I was, That's just what we did. Myself and my crew, when we went out, it was only a handful of us. I didn't go out with 75 people. It was about three of us, and it was the same three because we, you know, that's what we did. We didn't roll deep. We didn't have to. But we went out, but that's who we were. But we allowed that music to take us over, and for the 4 or 5 hours, and when I tell you 4 or 5 hours, for the 4 or 5 hours we were out at the club or whatever we were doing, we did it. And we did it well. Not just do it. We did it well. I feel the same way about worship music. There are certain songs that just take you to a place. So this morning, where's my phone? I got to get the evidence. This morning, I was driving to school, and I wanted to. I was listening to a song came on the radio this morning on Sirius on XM Radio or Kirk Franklin Praise, whatever it's called. A song came on this morning and it caught me. It caught me a little bit. I'm trying to go back because when the song caught me, I instantly went back. I instantly went back to Spotify. So I could find the song again because I wanted to hear it again, even though I know you can do repeats and all that kind of stuff. So I was listening to. Come on, give me my recently played. Thank you. I was listening to this morning this song by Shekinah Glory. I wish I would play it, but I know somebody been doing some extra tagging on our stuff lately. But there was a song that got played called How Deeply I Need You, by Shekinah Glory. And it's an older Shekinah Glory song. It's on the CD After the Praise Is What I Do CD. So it's on the CD after that one. And I think it's Shekinah Glory Live. That's the CD. It's called Shekinah Glory Live. But I'm going to give you all some of the lyrics. I'm going to read the lyrics to you because I will play it, but I don't feel like arguing with Facebook and then claiming our stuff. And then we got to fight to get it back. And then they give it back to us when they should have never took it in the first place. Right. Because we certified over here, but you know, every now and then we have some idiots trying to claim our stuff too. But here are the lyrics. The lyric says, I just want to get to the chorus. It says, how deeply I need you, my Lord. How deeply I need you, my Lord. Then it gets to this part. Like the desert needs the rain, I need you. Like the ocean needs the stream, I need you. Like the morning needs the sun, I need you. Lord, you are my only one. I need that thing. So I'm driving. I don't have a long drive to school. But I'm driving. And I don't know where I was in my drive this morning, but I was straight, full-fledged on balling. Like somebody had, like, you know, came in here and stole one of my Batman off the show. like full-fledged, like, you know, like it was God and a host of angels in the back seat. And they was crying, holy, holy, and I was crying, holy, holy with them. And so now, like the whole ride, like my whole ride to school this morning is a blur. I just remember parking. And then because I got there at a decent time, you know, early for me, I got there at a record time, at a decent time, I got to enjoy the worship a little bit more. So then after that song went off, I want to go what was next. After that song went off, the song Manifest by Jonathan Nelson came on. Manifest. Now I know y'all know it. This is for my gospel music people. I know y'all know this. If you don't know it, you might want to get you a little sample of it. But the song Manifest by Jonathan Nelson came on. excuse me, and this is what the lyrics say. The lyrics say this. It says, pregnant possibilities now birth anew, travailing to obtain it, for it must come to pass. I decree and declare it. I call it in the spirit to become what God has designed me to be. Then he says this, your future, your promises shall be fulfilled. Yes, you shall obtain it, for it must come to pass. That thing had me. Now, I've heard the song before, you know, and you've heard these ain't new songs. You know, you've heard the songs before. But I was in that place this morning where that thing just took over. And a lot of times you're thirsty for you can be thirsty for that connection with God. You can be thirsty for that reconnection with God. And sometimes that thing will just overtake you. And watch this, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. And so what I'm saying is, I this is why I can relate to the author of this article. When he says, finding your way back to that place, right? Finding your way back to that place. So then he says, watch this. He says, we may not be feeling a desperate need to actively pursue times of an extended meeting with God where he is our only audience and where we pour ourselves out, heart, mind, spirit, soul, and all of that. But to engage in worship stirs our faith. It reorients our thinking. It refreshes our spirit, and it reinforces our emotional resilience. So it's kind of like, watch this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It's kind of like when we take a drink of water. It takes a drink. Watch this. The writer says this. It takes a drink of water for us to experience just how thirsty we've been. Woo! Somebody got that might help somebody right there. Sometimes it takes a drink of water to let you know how thirsty you've been. That's what worship is. Sometimes we need to go there just to be reminded of how we should stay there all the time. So the writer says this. He says at times I fell out of this practice in the last 18 months. Anybody, can I get a witness? Anybody else been there? He says at times I fell out of practice in the last 18 months. I lost my way in the midst of a year of health challenges, pandemic disruption, the hard work, the lingering issues, the noise of life as we know it. He says my wife kept it going. He says, our house is always filled with worship music playing. He says, and I'm grateful for that. He says, when I was at my worst, bedridden, dark and low, I'd hear a song in the other room and I began to sing it in my mind. He says, then I'd wake up in the morning only to find that I'd been singing all night. He says, I'm so grateful for the gift of music, so grateful. The writer is saying that he kept his house saturated with worship, even when he could not worship. He kept his house saturated with worship. Right? So then he says, how is stepping away from lingering in worship going for your mental state, your emotional resilience, our ability to love and speak with discernment, wisdom, compassion in the midst of a turbulent time? Because we were forced to step away. A lot of us, a lot of you all, honestly, were forced to step away from worship because your churches closed down or you were told to stay home. You can only have so many people in the building. And I know for us, we've been here throughout the entire pandemic. And that's for two reasons. For one, I'm a minister here. For two, we are part of the AV team. Here, the audio video team here. So our responsibilities became twofold. Not only did I still have pulpit duties, but we were now responsible for making sure that those people who were forced to stay home had the best possible at home worship experience. What that meant was being here was no longer about worship. Now, I wish y'all could understand this. Our responsibility became about making sure you could worship. So it became work, not worship. It became work. And see, it's hard to worship when you're working. I wish y'all could get to understand where I'm going with this. It's hard to worship when you're working because you're so focused on making sure that the people at home can hear, can see. Is it clear? How is it sound? Is it good? Do they look too dark on the screen? Do we need some light? What's the angle? You're all concerned about that. Whereas before, you know, you put the cameras on, and yes, you still want a good product, but you're able to worship. And then when we went through that phase where we had to almost, when we went to the phase where only the video recording people were allowed and the musicians. And then we had a point where we had no musicians. It was just the people with the cap, with the equipment and a preacher and a microphone. And we piped in and spliced and did all this type of stuff with sounds and music. That wasn't worship. That was production. And a lot of us have been forced into production. But I like this article because it's talking about it's time to re-engage in worship. The writer says, how's that going for living a John 7 Jesus-styled life where you're in no rush to gain the affirmation of others, you're in no rush to have people affirm you and like your opinions, and where, like Jesus, you simply refuse to voice anything that the Father has not spoken to you in your cultivated, intimate, secret life with him.
I like this part. He says, Psalm 73 says, no, he says, when I found worship in this way again, personally and with others, something shifted.
Woo!
Something shifted. The writer says this, Psalm 73, 16 and 7 says this. He says, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood. He says, something shifted. He says some health came back into my bones and brain and bloodstreams. He says some of my wild, unruly emotions stepped back into the quiet of my spirit so I could walk as a listener once again. He said I started to feel like I was responding to Jesus again. This is what happens when you engage in worship. I started to feel like I was responding to Jesus again rather than reacting to every noise, voice, or issue that got my attention. That's what happened to me this morning. I wasn't paying attention to the people driving like idiots on the street. That don't mean I wasn't paying attention to the road. It didn't faze me. He says it was like the lights came back on again. Like some shadow, he says, like the shadow, I love this part. He says, like some shadows in my heart disappeared, like some areas of a deep ache were touched and healing balm assuaged them again. Meeting with God in worship and experiencing his presence in that way was writing, clarifying, detoxifying the thinking in my mind. That's what worship does. Because watch this. It's hard to worship. You can't worship God with a cluttered mind. That's going to help somebody. You cannot worship God with a cluttered mind. It's impossible. It's impossible because if you're saying you can do it, then you're not worshiping. If you're saying, I can worship God and have all this other stuff in my mind, then you're truly not worshiping. You're playing, you're going through the motions. You're clapping because somebody said clap. You're waving because somebody said wave. And you're shouting hallelujah because they told you to shout hallelujah. You're just going through the motions. But when you're in true connection with God, when you're in true worship with God, none of that other stuff enters your mind. It's pushed so far back to the recesses of your mind that you can only see and picture God. The writer says this. He says, emotional resilience followed. Anxiety began to lessen, and my spirit took a deep breath of being loved. Then he says, while I've learned many ways to help my brain and body manage the troubles within, experiencing God in worship, worship that is led sensitively and with the awareness of the spirits moving in the room, is in the lead for me. It's the worship for me. I should get that for a t-shirt. You sure it's already went out there?
Yeah, I think
okay,
I saw something like that.
You should look for one. It's the worship for me. You want to be led back into a place. It's kind of like, remember as a kid, the first time you went to the big amusement park, not the carnival, but the first time you went to Great America or whatever park is in your area, and you got there, and you see it from about a mile and a half away, 2 miles away. All you see the flags, Six Flags, Great America. You see the flag flying, and then you see the eagle, the American eagle. And as a little kid, I don't care, you might have been the toughest teenager in the world, you pull up and you see that thing in the distance, and your eyes get this big. And then as you get there, and you pull up, all the cars, there's a line to pull into the parking lot, and the music is, you know, the nice amusement park music is playing, and now you got now you've been in the car, the windows have been up, now the windows are down, and now everybody, and all you see is other little kids in their car windows, looking out the windows with that big goofy grin of excitement, saying, "Ooh, I'm riding that. Ooh, you see that? Ooh, I'ma see that. Ooh, that's the new ride over there. I'ma see." And then you hear the sound. Oh, God, I wish y'all would help me. You hear the sound. There is a sound. You hear the sound of the roller coaster going past, and the people screaming on the ride. You hear it. You hear it in the distance. And now you want to be a screamer too. I wish y'all would help me with this. Y'all ain't getting this. This is good. This is good.
All right.
Go ahead.
Great illustration.
I try.
No, I kind of, like, I started to get, you know, what you were saying, because mm-hmm. it's like you said, we've been here since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, not to say, not a break, period. Mm-hmm. Period.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. So, personally for me, I just felt like the scene from, what's that,
mm-hmm.
the women with who did, you know, help the astronauts get in the air,
mm-hmm.
and everything. I felt like her,
mm-hmm.
always constantly running and about to drop something,
mm-hmm.
and everything, because it was like, you know, slowly I've been, like, I would say I'm being resuscitated and everything else like that. Because, like, you know, I'll look at you guys and I'm like, y'all standing up now, and I'm looking like, what y'all standing up for? And I'm like, but I'm looking, and I'm like, I started to stand up. Like it was slow, and I was like, you know, hey, what's last time? Like, I hear music here
because mm-hmm.
you play it, mm-hmm. and I hear it all the other times and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't listening for myself anymore,
right.
Because it, you know, like, you know, for the last year, it was
18 months.
Yeah, it was a rat race first,
yes.
to be online,
mm-hmm.
and to put everything out here, like you say, in a production fashion. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was like lights, camera, action, and mm-hmm. everything. So you couldn't, like, you know, and I had to, like, tell myself at home, like, you know, when it's time for altar call, like, you know, how about, you know, but I'm like, you still got to keep your eye on that
mm-hmm.
switcher. You got to
mm-hmm.
still keep your eye on, make sure everything mm-hmm. is still right. So I still feel like, you know, like I still teeter
mm-hmm.
because, like, you know, because I still got to keep my eye, because, you know, we are the only ones. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, we are
mm-hmm.
the only ones. You
mm-hmm.
know, you're monitoring sound
mm-hmm.
from, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the studio,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking at it, you know, right then and there, like,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, do you hear this popping? Or somebody says, move the camera,
right.
and everything. So, I'm, like, you know, I'm in this article, I'm glad he has less anxiety. Mine's is waning down, as I could say, because I was like, you know, even I was like, I found some notes from when we were
mm-hmm.
doing, when we were empty in here, and it was
mm-hmm.
just five of us for about a month.
4 weeks, yeah.
and everything else like that. And something inside of me said, you don't throw those away because you still need to remember the order in case this happens again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, I get it. Like, you know, I'm still trying to, like, you know, be present there. Because at first, because I felt bad. I'm just here to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to work. I'm getting zero pay. And, like, you know, and I was like, and when I get there to the gates, he's going to be like, all you did was work. You ain't even, he's like, do you even remember anything?
Right.
Like, nope.
Oh, my God. That's good. That's rich.
So, yeah, I totally get it. I get it.
Yeah, this is, that's good. That's good. Because that is the thing. You feel like all I did was work. I went to church. What'd you do at church today? I worked. I didn't worship. I worked. So I like what the writer says. He says, those who do return to meeting with God again in worship choose to fill homes and cars and lives with worship music that lifts them in orientation to Jesus for a good sustain long while, even if it's just running in the background, have told me they feel like someone who's just received a cool drink of water when they didn't realize how thirsty they had become. He says, I am thirsty, and thank you for your quenching, refreshing, healing spirit, Lord. The writer goes on to say, friends, find spaces and places where you can spend yourself in worship for a few hours this week. Start again and then see where it goes. I promise y'all it'll do something for you. Find you some space and place where you just look fine. Look, get you. And I'm going to tell you like this. Maybe you don't have a great, maybe you ain't got the best sound system in your house, or maybe it's in your car. But look, all y'all walking around with these wonderful devices, right? Y'all got either a Droid phone or iPhone. They got the same guts. But the sound in them is amazing. Get you a good pair of headphones. I will promise you this. Get you a good pair of headphones, a good pair of headphones, and find you a place, drive somewhere, and go sit in your car, go someplace, or find you a corner in your house where you won't be disturbed, and put on I haven't tried it with, I know Tidal does it, but Spotify is what I use. I'll find a song that I like, and then there's an option where you can hit song radio, and then it will play songs that are somewhat similar to the song that you like. And you'll find yourself, man, you'll find yourself in a place and space where it's just you and God. The writer says, set aside some other music and media loves. You know, welcome Netflix and social media to bow before Christ for a few hours each week. He says, as you fill your space and heart and mind and spirit with passionate worship music again. There is something about there is, and I remember laughing when I first heard Larry Trotter. When I first heard Bishop Larry Trotter talk about being intimate with God, when he said, you ought to want to, he literally said the words, make love to him. He said that in the thing. And I'm like, what? Like, what's he talking about? But then I had to think about that the worship does fall on that level of intimacy. I ain't talking about a hit it and quit it. I ain't talking about a quickie. Y'all can take it how you want us to take it. It's all right. I'm talking about a moment that is set aside that when it's over, you're like, oh my God, what just happened? A moment where it's just you and God and nobody else. That type of worship moment. The writer says this. He says, sing loud when you can. He says, stop and let the words and joy wash over you when you can't. Take the long drive. Anticipate everyone leaving the house. Don't lose it. He says, it's life and help and strength because the Spirit meets us in it. He says, and if you're a worship leader, as you can, create those accessible spaces for us in person and online. Use songs of joy and intimate surrender, songs that open us up to Jesus, that lead us to surrender and release and tears. That's what the responsibility of the worship leader is, to be able to recognize when those moments come and not be so anxious to go to the next part of the program, to be able to recognize those moments. He says, now is the time. Engage in worship, and there is something so profound that can only happen in that place, on that encountering ground of worship. It can only happen in worship. Yeah, you can talk to God when you're mad and when somebody at work is getting on your nerves, and you can go to God when if you're praying for the sick, or you're praying for a promotion, you're praying for increase. You can do all those things. You can talk to God. But in that place of worship, there's something in that place of worship, in that place and space of worship, that only happens there. It only happens there. So he closes out with this. He says, if you are one who has forgotten or lost your way a bit in all the fray, he says, or one who has lost the desire to work a little to keep the worship music flooding your soul, it's not too late. He says, find that Spotify list. Fill that car. Fill that home. It matters. He says, and I believe Jesus will do great things in it and in you over time as you engage in worship again. Just do it. Just try it. Engage in worship again. It does amazing things. We finished on time. Wow. It does amazing things when you allow yourself to engage in worship. We had guests at the church yesterday, and y'all know I don't do it because I don't come down here and sit in the sanctuary like I did at my old church. And I used to when I first got here. I just don't do it as much because I really don't have time. But I used to love coming in and sitting in the empty sanctuary, especially when I'm writing my sermons, which I started putting some stuff together yesterday. But part of what I do is I like surrounding myself, even though I got all this other stuff on when I'm writing, and TV and all this other stuff is on and all noise and stuff. But there's always the worship music playing. But when I come down to the church, and I've always been blessed to be able to do it in these large buildings. But I come down and, you know, being the AV guy gives you some privileges. It gives you some privileges. So I turn the music on. And when I'm here by myself, it is a full-fledged on Sunday best moment happening. It is Sunday best. Meets the Stella Awards meets Chicago Gospel Fest, and it is Azusa Street in here, because I just want to feel, because it's just me and God. I want to fill the space with worship. It's 1,100 seats out there, and I'm standing in the pulpit. Like, literally, I'll find a seat on the stage. And just sit with my laptop and type. Sometimes I get up and stand at the podium and I'll type for a while. There's been times, thank God nobody came, they would think I was crazy. There's been times I was stretched out like a little kid, laid out flat in the pulpit because the carpet is a little more comfortable. Because I couldn't do that over at Kingdom because the carpet wasn't comfortable. The carpet over in the pulpit over here is a little more plush. You can lay out, but I've done it, and because I want to be encompassed in the moment, and I mean so loud that it's like, well, guess what? It ain't for you. But it's something about being in that worship atmosphere. It helps me with my conversations to God, and helps me to be able to hear where he wants me to take the people when I step to the mic to deliver his word. Try it. Even tonight, I know it's Friday and you may have something else on the brain. Don't do it, maybe, you know. But guess what? Saturday night, you should be prepping for worship for Sunday. Try it on Saturday night. I sleep with the TV on, but watch this. It ain't nothing for me to put my headphones in while the TV is on. Y'all know I got extra stuff going on. Stop shaking your head. But put them on. Find you some songs. Create your own playlist. Watch this. Y'all, especially my gospel music lovers, you got 10 songs. Wow, what just happened? You got 10 songs that you like. Put them on a playlist. Put them on a playlist and let them play back to back. 10 songs will probably get you about an hour. If they're about 5 or 6 minutes, maybe get you about more than a half hour. Get 20, that'll get you an hour. Fine, get you an hour's worth of songs and just let them play without any interruption. They'll come on right after the other. Create your own playlist. I promise you, you're going to feel different. I promise you, you're going to feel different when that last song plays. And I guarantee you this, after song 20 plays, you might play song 21. 20 turns into 30 real quick, real quick. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for this amazing article on worship. God, we thank you for just allowing us to have an opportunity, God, to get closer to you. God, right now we would ask that you would give us, God, the mindset and the will to want to be better worshipers. Give us the mindset and the will to want to be better worshipers, to want to be better praisers, to want to be better hearers and doers of your word. God, we recognize that you don't need our worship. God, we recognize that you don't require our worship. But your word does say that you inhabit the praises of your people. So, God, we want our praise to be worthy of your inhabitants, of your habitation. Huh? We want our praise and our worship to be a place where you can rest in. God, for those watching and listening right now, give them the will to be a worshiper. That's a good sermon title. Bless your name, Jesus. Give them the will to be a worshiper. Now, as we get ready to leave this place, whenever your presence, we ask for traveling mercy and grace. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. Look, this is what I'm going to do because I'm going to do it anyway. And that way, if they decide they're going to mute it, they'll just mute it at the end. I want to give y'all a little bit of this this song that I mentioned at the beginning by Shekinah Glory. This How Deeply I Need You. I want to give y'all just a little bit of it. And we'll go from there. Look, in the meantime, if you got to drive through this special city we call Chicago, do me a favor, my brothers and my sisters, whatever city you have to drive through, keep your head on a swivel. 2 T's, 1 L, 1 O. We out.
Would I go?
And what else?
What else would I do?
Come on. If I did not.
If I did not know you. Oh, how did I
My Lord.
Mm.
My Lord.
It's rich, y'all. It's rich.
My Lord. My Lord,
listen. Yes, come on.
I need
Like the desert needs the rain.
Yes.
I need and every ocean needs. I need every morning needs. I need the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on. If you get to that place, when you realize, when you get to that place, that just like a desert and an ocean and the morning need all these things, you can't help but elevate your worship. I'm gonna tell y'all. Shout out to Cedric Ford for singing on this as well. So we're going to get ready to get out of here, y'all. Facebook will probably take some of this part of it down. That's why I'm talking over it, because they might not. Two teams. One L. One O. Peace Yellow Radio, y'all. Y'all be blessed. With your hands lifted up.